Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almi. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almi.
Welcome to our show today, and I am looking forward to sharing an hour with you and answering some of the concerns and questions that some of you have written into us about, and I hope all of you take an opportunity to join our email list because it's a place where you receive regular communications. I'd like to talk today to shed some light on a subject, which is the understanding of white magic. So let's take a look at when that began and what it's about and all those sorts of things. Firstly, starting in November of 2006, a re-emergence of bodies of white magic has taken place. Great gifts to restore to humanity its magical birthright have been given. The various mystical kingdoms have participated in this dawning of an era of magic among men by sharing with us their precious, precious secrets. You know, one such source is the book, Aruba Therina, Book of Fairy Magic. Another such one is the Gift of the Unicorns. But the greatest sources of mysteries and magic have been the opening of the hidden sacred libraries of the earth. The Isis Libraries opened up its secrets in December of 2006. The Secret Libraries of the Order of the White Dove opened up in September 2007. And then others followed during the months after. For instance, the libraries, which is the Kundalini magic of the serpent, that the libraries are actually in Eastern Europe, was opened up in Toronto, in Canada, with a very strong group of Eastern European masters gathered there. And so yet man has had a trepidation about embracing these holy and incorruptible gifts. Perhaps it is because of eons of abuse of magical powers. Or perhaps there's an innate knowing that the magic available to man throughout the ages came from a tainted source and exacted a price. It is time for us to understand the vast difference between first and second ring magic so that these prejudices can be released. From the 13th plate from the White Horse Libraries in Southern Africa, there's the following little line. It says, "A day shall come when magic is restored, when man again shall have what was his before." So let's look at the source of power and energy and how this relates to white magic. Power is needed to effect changes in reality through intent. The great differences between incorruptible white magic that cannot be used for selfish purposes, gifted to us by the mother and father, and other forms of magic to use as a tool to direct this power are, number one, other forms of magic, and mother has removed their ability to effectively work, by the way, exerted the individual's will over the environment, whether it was beneficial for the interconnectedness of life or not. White magic cannot be used to benefit selfish desires or individual benefit at the cost of the whole. Secondly, other forms of magic derive their limited power from another life source, an external source, to put awareness, power, and energy into an incantation or a ritual or an object. Even though millennia later, someone may have used it with good intentions, the source of its power was tainted in that a life was taken for its power source. Using such power created a cosmic debt. And we know cosmic debt by the name karma. The source of power for white magic is completely different. It actually comes from within, and it benefits all life in that the practitioner utilizes the principles explained in the following bit that I'm going to tell you here. But these principles are based on changing a lower order to a higher order, and I'll explain what I mean by that. So, but let's just first look at the third thing. The practices of external magic used to delete the practitioner and the environment because they were non-life enhancing to the whole. White magic enhances the practitioner every time it is used, since it raises consciousness, benefiting all life. Now, let's take a look at the issue of how power can be used in a way that benefits life. To do that, we have to understand what power is. Power is the cohesive force that holds the building blocks of existence, those tiny particles that quantum physics studies called, you know, we call them omniparticles, but power is the cohesive force that holds those minute little building blocks into a specific pattern. When a lower order or pattern makes way for a higher one, less cohesive force is required, and so power is released. Now, in magic, you require energy. Let's look at that. What is energy? When power as a force of cohesion is released, it causes a movement. The other building blocks around where there's a new pattern moves also. But because their pattern has not been changed, or because they are not in a pattern, either part of an electromagnetic field or a form, but part of an empty space, they return whence they came. In other words, they bounce back. They could ricochet back and forth multiple times, depending on the force of the power released, but they go back to where they were. The movement becomes the energy source. Now, let's look at how white magic gets its power from the building blocks of life, now that we understand what power and energy is. The indirect source of the power in the incantations or the sigils is the compressed building blocks of life that mother and father have placed in them. They do not provide the power directly. White magic does not use an external source. The Toltec seers call this internal magic or second ring magic. When it uses an external source, it's called first ring magic. An internal source, second ring magic. So the infinitesimally small building blocks, which we call omniparticles, communicate to the same particles within us through a universal language of love and light. Now, these building blocks, in other words, let's say we have an incantation, or let's say we have a sigil, a little symbol, but it's given by mother and father. What they've done is a bit like compressed air, or, you know, the compressed gases that are in a soda pop, so that you don't want to shake it because it will come pouring out. It's compressed in there. Mother and father compresses the building blocks of life, which is where, as I've just explained, energy and power originate from. They compress it into these sigils, into these incantations. So that's where we get it from. And it releases it from within, not from without. So these small little building blocks speak to the same particles within us. The building blocks in the symbol, let's just take a symbol, speaks to the same ones within us. And a pattern of perfection is broadcast, inspiring the building blocks within us to rearrange themselves into a higher and higher order, enhancing our consciousness, incidentally, with each use. This results in releases of power, because remember we said that when a lower order changes to a higher order, that power is released. So every time we are inspired by the building blocks speaking to our inner building blocks from the sigil, say, to a higher order, we are going into higher consciousness. And that is what releases the power. So this results in the release of power, which with focused intent and pure emotion will influence the environment. So beneficial white magic always takes place in a way that is life-enhancing. And my brothers and sisters, before we take a look at some other things surrounding this, let's just please go and take a look at the commercials instead. We'll be right back.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Elmin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer end the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Elmin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Elmin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Brand new book, The Gift of the Unicorns, is now available from Elmin. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
So let us take a look at some of these tools that mother and father have given us to restore white magic among man. Because without them, man is the only kingdom in existence that does not, in fact, wield benevolent magic. Angels do, fairies do, giants do, star races do, and we have forgotten ours. Yet we are the archetypes and the prototypes of the cosmos. So it is imperative that it be restored. One such an incredible tool that I want to discuss with you and give you a little bit more information on than I have in previous shows where we touched on it, are the 300 beautiful, that I wish I could show them to you over the air, beautiful, beautiful wheels of the goddess. There are also 300 father ones, but we will just right now discuss the goddess ones. These wheels are actual patterns that come out of the holy city of the Mother and Father God here on earth, the New Jerusalem, as described in Revelations, that we cannot currently see. It is shielded from us, but it is already fully formed. So these patterns of the wheels come out of the city, out of Mother and Father's home. From ancient times, like a voice from the dust, from the keepers of these records, a message from us. Now, this came out of the library of the unicorn, also called the library of the blue light. Forgotten by the time these words shall be seen will be physical magic and the goddess's wheels. From the libraries of the blue light they shall be retrieved. 300 there are of the sacred wheels. Each holds a function. Each holds a key. The ability to manifest lies within each wheel. The pineal gland, the skin, and the heart. In manifestation, all play a part. 300 cells in the pineal's heart does lie, to be activated by the wheels, received in future times. Now, it's identifying themselves as the ones who are speaking. We are the gods and goddesses of Agawavanti. We sat by the thrones when life did begin. By the mother's and father's sides were we. We will gather again when the wheels are released. When the libraries are opened by the scepter's stone, and this you can read about in the Gift of the Unicorns, Mother has a scepter with a stone of light blue given by the Pegasus, safeguarded through ages. Their story is told there. And the other side of the scepter is a stone of dark blue that the unicorns safeguarded. And they tell you there where they were and how they guarded these stones and when it was restored to Mother. When the libraries are opened by the scepter stone, when the Mother again calls us home, the libraries of the blue light where the wheels are kept, where through the ages these secrets have slept, then it will be time for physical magic to be restored, incorruptible and pure. Man shall wield it as before. The kingdoms shall rejoice over the time of peace, a dispensation of light unlocked by these keys. I was able to speak to one of the goddesses of Agawavanti, and I took down exactly. And Agawavanti, incidentally, means source of life. And I took down exactly what she told me. I said to her, "Do you know anything about these wheels?" She said, "I remember the way the wheels functioned eons ago. We were the first ones able to experience the purity, beauty, and wonder of the Mother Goddess's creation. There were beings around the throne next to Mother. I was one of these, guarding these wheels. The wheels came from her heart. They floated around and within her. It was the song of her heart that flowed through these wheels as they were floating or dancing around. The order of them was always changing, making wonderful patterns as the song of her heart went through them. The song of her heart created the patterns. These patterns created a magnificent blanket spreading from her throne to the earth and then the entire cosmos. It was her creations. The wheels were a lot fewer then, and they are used slightly differently now. What remains the same is that it is the song of the heart that activates them and gives them the ability to create patterns, the source code for creations. The nature and number of the wheels changed as Mother's consciousness changed. In the past, it was of concern that the wheels would get into bad hands, as they could be misused to make creations against Mother's will. This is no longer the case. The wheels cannot be used to create against Mother's desire, because she has internalized us. And, you know, in the book Windows into Eternity that will be available the end of 2008, we explain how space collapsed and the directions no longer are. So we are within her, unable to create anything against her wish. The wheels were enormously desirable. One had to be of strong will and heart to guard these. Today they are meant for the pure in heart to use. The scope of the creation depends on the frequency of the person using them. They are the building blocks of the microcosm. Creations from those with lower frequency would still reflect the beauty of their heart. Someone with a very high frequency could help create parts of the holy city that is being built for Mother and Father on Earth. I received this from her on the 20th of February, 2008. The following that I want to share with you came out of these libraries of the blue light, and I had to translate them out of one of Mother's languages, actually. Since ancient times, most precious and rare, in secret libraries the wheels were kept there, sought by the dark gods, thus hidden were they. In holy places they were put away. Their magic most powerful, they diligently sought. They wanted their hidden powers to exploit. The building blocks of life are controlled by the wheels. The earth will have ascended when they are again seen. The libraries of the blue light only opened can be by the Holy Mother's scepter. The blue stone is the key. Long held by the unicorns, the blue stone of mothers. The Pegasus, too, held safely another. Thus the library will open and the secrets release. The wheels of the goddess usher in a reign of peace. 300 there are, in combinations used to materialize objects. They are valuable tools. Each combination a different result will produce. The material wheel, too, is in conjunction used. To guard these wheels, many have died. Though the dark gods tried, these wheels they will hide. Thus Mother resurrected ones who were brave, the ones who the secrets of the wheels did save. They will yield their secrets when Mother decrees, when the cosmos at last from corruption is free. Though long have their gifts been kept from man, one day their secrets man will understand. My brothers and sisters, a most extraordinary thing happened when these races were resurrected. One, we had a conversation, we had a group of students, if you will, most of them are now masters, gathered together. And when they gathered, Mother spoke to them. And she told one of the masters there that her grief that she felt for so long, she asked Mother where the grief came from. And she said that you were the only survivor of a race that guarded my sacred wheels. And you have carried the secret in your heart. At this time, when the wheels came forth, and this group gathered to remind me, and I will resurrect them. And so this whole race that had died to save these wheels were resurrected by Mother on that day. My brothers and sisters, we had the most extraordinary events. We had one race after the other send their emissaries amongst us, asking Mother to assist them with certain things. One of the sisters spoke their languages. I translated and I could see images of what they were trying to convey. And the other sister could clearly see the lineup of beings waiting to speak to us. And some in the class were able to physically see them, and some were able to see them on the screen of their mind. Races I didn't even know existed came one after the other. One race that were bird races had lost the ability to sing because their purity had been tainted by a discordant frequency in their planet. Noise pulls us out of the moment. It's in the moment where purity is found. As a result, their meridian was pulled downward and the pure tones of their voice no longer were heard. Mother restored this for them. Other beings had been resurrected by Mother, but their planets perished and were not resurrected. And Mother created planets for them that day as they came in that holy gathering that we had and asked Mother to restore these things. There were beings that we are now encountering. Now they are speaking and giving their images and their languages to us. This has taken place months ago. That look almost like flowers. And understand, the Earth is a library that is genetic library. Species on Earth somewhere else are primary species. We hold their genetics. That's why it's so precious to preserve our environment and our species. So my brothers and sisters, it also is necessary that we don't feel guilty when those species are lost, because many races are lost and the genetic library keeping them is no longer needed. Mother, even in our flaws of trashing the environment and destroying species, has made sure that the end result is nevertheless perfection. We'll now take a break and then we'll be back.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almeen's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Velvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
I want to discuss a little further about how objects, sigils, ruins, for instance, a ruin is a divination device, how they contain compressed building blocks of existence, the way one would compress the gases into a pop can. Let us take a look there at a transmission that came with the ruins that we received in a butterfly library. The libraries of the butterfly are in China. And they opened, and there was this particular language that I translated, and there were these runes, 96 of them. But there was an introduction to them. So let's start by looking at that. A rune is a divination device in that they can be thrown on the ground in the form of symbols on little bits of pottery, or they can be drawn the way you would draw an angel card, or they are used in more complex rune systems the way you would use a tarot deck. The Order of the Serpent has a rune system that's that complex. It's actually more complex than the tarot. Others are quite simple. So the introduction to the runes from the Order of the Butterfly, and I'll just read their language just so you get a feel for it. Ka ying pa ho, ba ling I ya hu nan, pi ti I ha yut, bi I nin sta, o yo ka hem. Aya paye iho ka vaniyam spa oya banavim. Ancient the tale of these sacred ruins. Mother to father gave the butterfly ruins. The long ancient libraries that guarded them well. The story of the butterflies do tell. The holy mother made them the father to delight. She filled them with her love and her light. She wove them into a magical robe, that her love he would feel no matter where she roamed. A fall did come, and separated they were. But father kept the ruins from her, preserved in the land that in the east does lie, which is China. They will come forth when there is no more time. Mother have made time to cease. So they've given us an indication of when these runes will come forth. They are beautiful. I wish I could show them to you, but they will be in the future book, The Secrets of the Ancients, and we're also trying to get our electronic books up as rapidly as possible because the information is a deluge, and I have only one hand that writes at one time right now, and everything is done with this automatic writing. So the story of the ruins is so beautiful in that it was a gift mother made father because she loaded it full of her love and her light. Say, now let's look at why the ruins are sacred. And sacred symbols are like vessels for dense fields of building blocks of life, including awareness. Awareness particles are part of the building blocks of life. These particles are programmed in very specific ways. Awareness particles consist of both mental and emotional components. Perception and emotion-based parts, in other words. So each ruin's symbol is programmed with particles containing frequency and light that pertained to its specific meaning. So awareness particles are living building blocks of life, and they're like small computers. My brothers and sisters, about a couple of months ago, Mother had me work on clearing awareness particles, because things that are put in the book of life, which is the book of reality that determines the laws of reality, must be spoken by someone in physicality. Hence, that's the work she gives me to do. The awareness particles she had me cleansed. I cleanse and cleanse and cleanse. And she kept saying, it's not done. I try and find more awareness particles. Libraries are like time capsules. So there were awareness particles in them that the book did not reach. So, you know, okay, I found those. I thought they were done. Mother says, no, you haven't done them all. After looking and looking where there were awareness particles that had not changed to a higher order as decreed in the book of life, I found them in the sigils of Bel Vaspata, that sacred healing modality given by the mother. Mother made those sigils for us, for the Bel Vaspata healing modality that she gave to humanity. And you can go to its website. We have the link to Belvaspata on our site and a page of it as well. And you can go there and take a look at it. But Mother gave it because healing modalities working with energy and physical healing modalities, they don't work any longer. And so Mother gave healing modalities that work with frequency and light, which are part of awareness, as we just looked at. And she packed those sigils full of awareness, programmed them for a specific function. So awareness particles are like little, tiny little computers. They had a specific program on them. But she made them so they couldn't be tampered with. And she also made them that they would upgrade as we upgrade it. Because you see, most of what was holy before is no longer holy. Holy sites, holy objects, holy this, holy that. Even sigils and symbols that previously were there would no longer be holy because we have moved beyond the levels of awareness that they contained. So Mother made the sigils for Belvaspata that they would upgrade as the rest of the cosmos upgraded and that they could not be tampered with. And so when Mother changed something in the awareness particles, they weren't affected. That's how potent they are. Now, so awareness particles can be put into things, and they are put into the ruins in compact form. Let's look at how the ruins work. With light and love and light and frequency, opposites attract. So the intent with which you consult the ruins, let's say you have painted the symbols of the ruins, that very precious ones, these actually, we have many sets that have come out of the libraries, but these are so precious because Mother made it as a gift of love for Father. But so let's say you take those images and you paint them or you draw them on little bits of pottery. Then you are asking, should I take this new job that is being offered for me? You have an intent with which you consult the ruin as a divination device. That intent registers in the awareness particles of the ruin symbols. Because all building blocks of life are alive. And so it registers, this is what she wants to know. And so the awareness particles have a group mind, and they're linked empathically through their emotional aspects as well. Awareness has an emotional and a mental component, light and emotional. So they are linked empathically through their emotional aspects. So the awareness particle of the correct ruin that will signal your awareness particle so that you are guided to draw the applicable one, if it's a card, or the ruins will position themselves in such a way that you get the answer if it's something that you throw on the ground. So in other words, let's say you've made it onto pottery particles. They will make themselves fall because the symbol on it is alive in the way that will provide you the answer. Let's say you write them on cards, like angel cards that you draw. They will program, they will communicate empathically to the awareness particles, which are the building blocks from which you also are made, for you to draw the specific one that will provide you the answer. That's how they work, because they live. So, they're posturing themselves according to the intent of your question. Now, if we look at the ruins history, the ancient symbols are from various sacred libraries, and they've been encountered, as we've been raising in frequency, during the Earth's ascension, which started in February of 2005. And for those of you that haven't yet read it, you can read about that in Secrets of the Hidden Realms. So So the higher the frequency in which we encountered them, in other words, the more recently we found a set of ruins in a library, the more ancient they are. So each library has its own set, even though the libraries differed by billions of years in age. This is an indication of the great value and importance as a divination of a device that ruins have had through the ages to the gods and the ascended masters who have been the custodians of these holy repositories of magical knowledge. In some instances, only the ruins' meaning is given, presumably because the same meaning may have different connotations for each individual, whereas in other systems, a more specific and detailed explanation accompanied the ruin. For instance, the ruins of the White Rose, they had little explanation of what was meant by that ruin. Others just had, increased potential, for instance, as an explanation. So how you use them is, with the exception of the ruins of the Serpent Libraries, which is a lot more complex, is that a system far more complex than the tarot system, but the other systems are simple. They're used by drawing a ruin at random. After setting an intention or asking a specific question, this clear intention must be held in the mind as a ruin is randomly picked. And one can photocopy the ruins for private use with their meaning. You can laminate them or draw the ruins on pebbles or pottery, place them so that their symbols are not visible when you choose one. Treat them, now this is important, because even Belvas Batar, as you self-initiate yourself, which, you know, this is given information in the Ring of Truth, we give how to initiate yourself in as a bonus section in Opening the Doors of Heaven, but even as you use those symbols in treating others or in self-initiating, it should be treated the same as the ruins. Treat them with the respect that a holy object deserves. Create a pouch or a special container for them. You don't just throw them on the ground. You never throw one in the trash. You burn them. And so holy objects should be treated as such. Let's take a break and then we will be back.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces her readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
So we have been receiving, as I've been talking about the ruins, a little indication that there is something that wants to come through in the form of prophecy. So, my brothers and sisters, what I would like to do, we have about 10, 12 minutes left of our last section. I want to just put my notes away of things that I thought I would answer for you and just get myself into silence and allow the prophecy to come through. And I will translate it for you, and sometimes if there's much to say, I will even omit the other languages. Ishba una vihiki amata. Neskuchi ahna va asta. Nishkaya batu. Uvahba astatna va ish. Estami nishba uknu. Keshbe estetve. Ishkiach kaya anat. Hochkoite inashvidi. All organisms go through the same stages, whether the smallest building block or cell, to the largest cosmos. No other individuated life exists of my creations without the cosmos. All is contained within. For during the ascension, multiple realities have been pulled into one. The cosmos has been in what can be called a state of God consciousness, in that it knew that it was all things contained in the One. It then recently entered into what could be called the ascended mastery level as a cosmos. On the day that these words are heard, there shall be a great change made in the night of the following morning early. And the goddess, which I am, and the father by my side, shall jointly bring our children as a whole into a kingdom that is the equivalent of a being entering into the God kingdom. Ishpachta yenesh, sivita'u min avir, kelesh aharastat, nun bishtani estera, kufihihma kenesh vasta. The words that I speak through my vessel are directed to you, who are some of my first children. It is for this reason that I have instructed her to speak upon this radio show. I had asked her to do it 1.5 years, according to your calendar, ago. But she was very adverse to the idea, and I did not want to push her into more work. But it is the goal to call my children, for they shall hear these truths, and it shall resonate and bring tears to their eyes from gratitude. For these are the keys that turn their own awakening. And upon this day, that the holy cosmic transfiguration occurs, many of you too shall have great changes, metamorphosing and transfiguring the fields of your bodies into higher orders of existence. Shtiba pachna vaydi, eshta manihka uluch, ishkaya viti enesh barach, spahik vikia nama ushutuye vee, intihia nanhash esta. I call the ancient ones, upon who the future shall pivot. For you are lights as beacons to man, and man is the pivot point of all life. It is thought that the cosmic space is endless, yet I carry it like a pearl of great price in my heart. It is not endless. It just appears so, because man cannot understand as yet spaceless space. It is therefore conceivable that a pivot point for this macrocosm can be the smallest pivot point, which is man. Through eons of illusion, I have safeguarded this species, though many try to destroy it. For there is a secret known only to few, and that is that man, having all things within, is in fact the first race. Some, like the Andromedans, have understood that they are the elite and the elders. In the Andromedan language, they have called them the Pa-Tal, the nobility. But it is much more than that. And the secret forgotten in antiquity is that man are my first born creations that populated my first created planet, the cradle of civilization, the Earth. In your genetics, you hold living libraries. The well-being of other species that have perished and need to be resurrected, for they have in truth deserved life, are kept within you. And if you had perished, they could never have been resurrected, as has been discussed by my vessel. Man is most precious, and it is time for you to thrive. Pishtai ne'echve, heshtivi iava anach. Take time to connect with the earth, not with guilt, but with love. Shtu uchuvi ihye, mini vitya kaba. Pay no attention to the statistics of yesterday about the destruction of the earth and its doomsday prophecy, because I can make all things new in the twinkling of an eye. I shall never let humanity nor the earth perish. And I shall keep in place the illusion of its pollution long enough until the lesson can be gotten by man that the earth must be cherished as their home, as a living being. Then I shall remove the veil, and you shall see that the deserts blossom as the rose. My beloved brothers and sisters, I shall leave you now and be with you next week. Thank you.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almien is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almien, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almien. Please join us again next week.